Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Thursday, May 2nd, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 24, the first paragraph. The fact is that most alcoholics, and the comments will be on that paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Peggy M., the 12 Traditions, Alice G., and readers of the text are Ramona A., Kara L., and Jordan L. The share ID for Wednesday, May 1st, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 12,849. That's 12849. And for the Thursday, May 2nd, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 12,852. That's 12852. And our newcomer greeter is Kaylee R., and hopefully our announcements coordinator will be Janice P.M. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Peggy M. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Peggy.
Good morning. This is Peggy M. from Illinois, recovered today, the 12 steps. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except for when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you and have a good day, and thank you for letting me do service.
Thank you, Peggy M., and I will now ask Alice G. to read the 12 traditions. Alice, good morning.
Good morning. This is Alice, recovered compulsive overeater in Wisconsin. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to serve.
And thank you, Alice G. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinent requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. And once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass and then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speakers, should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 24, the first paragraph, starting with the fact is that most alcoholics, and we'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. And I will now ask Ramona A. to get us started. Good morning, Ramona.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service. This is Ramona A. in Vermont. The fact is that most alcoholics, for reason yet obscure, have lost the power of choice in drink. Our so-called willpower becomes practically non-existent. We are unable at certain times to bring into our consciousness with sufficient force the memory of the suffering and humiliation of even a week or a month ago. We are without defense against the first drink. And as you said, with italics, it's important. There's a whole lot of information in that one paragraph. What for me, I said, yes, just breaking it down for reasons yet obscure. I said, I certainly didn't know all my life why I gravitated to sweets, for one thing, you know, and to just food and quantity. I just did. Now I know it's an illness, and I know there's an allergy to, you know, some of these substances, but sometimes I still don't really know. Reasons are, yes, still obscure. I'm still baffled by the workings of my mind. And so that kind of gets to the second part of it here, where that talks about our willpower, lost the power of drink, is practically non-existent, and we're unable at certain times to remember the pain, the suffering, you know, from before. And I could once in a while before, you know, summon willpower at times, but this is a progressive illness. And at this point, I wouldn't trust it at all. I would not tempt it, you know, either my willpower or my memory. And I remember as it progressed one time when I had a bowl of popcorn, and sometimes I was able to eat that, but this time I was shoving it in my mouth by the fistfuls as fast as I could, and I was looking at my hand and at the popcorn, and I wanted to stop, but I couldn't stop. And I say that I knew then, you know, I'm powerless there. So at times when all was well, I could remember, but I'd still pick up, you know. And at times I remembered the pain of gaining weight and remorse to a certain degree, but my current pain at that moment overwhelmed me because I didn't know how to handle life around it. So I had to believe that this time, you know, I could handle eating and the consequences because I couldn't handle not eating. My only defense is this program. That's what I've come to learn and to live it every moment, you know, every day, every moment. It's the step work and the tools and meetings like this, you know, that have relieved the old pain and then helped me deal with the new pain without using food. Without that, you know, I would not be able to handle food. You know, I'd be right back where I was before. So I rely on my higher power. God keeps me from needing to rely on myself. And relying on myself was a dangerous way to live. So thank right. goodness for this program. And sorry for the dinging, but...
Okay, you done, Ramona? Okay.
I think I'm trying okay. to turn off the timer. Yes, I am done. I passed. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for getting us started, Ramona. And I'll just remind everybody where we're on, where we're at in the big book. We're on page 24, the first paragraph. The fact is that most alcoholics, and just reading that one paragraph only, who would like to share?
Lisa J.R.?
I got Lisa J.R.
Mary Jane Z.
Mary Jane Z.
Debbie B.
Debbie B.
L-E-A-S.
L-E-A-S.
Jane A.M.
Leia.
I got Leia S. Who
Kaylee R.
Kaylee. I got you, Kaylee.
Rowena.
Okay, we'll stop there. Here we are. Okay. Leah S. Now, okay, Debbie, Mary Jane Z. Okay. Here we are. Lisa J. R. And sorry for those that I didn't get. Maybe on the second round we'll do this. Lisa J. R., Mary Jane Z., Debbie B., Alia S., Leah S., Kaylee R., and Rowena. Thank you for getting us all started. Lisa J. R., followed by Mary Jane Z. Lisa.
Oh, thank you, Mo, for your service and everybody for being on the line. Lisa J.R. here from Baltimore, Maryland. Only by God's grace recovered for this 24 hours. We are without defense. Boy, can I relate into this paragraph altogether. You know, in my 20s and 30s, yes, I suffered from this disease. Of course, I was in complete denial about it, but you know, I was hell on wheels. I was managing it quite well, or so I thought. It was all just an illusion. And at some point in my eating career, I crossed this invisible line, and I don't know when. I can't identify the time. It is just when it was. And, you know, I suddenly went from being able to wait until I got across the threshold of the front door to binge, to then binging in my car, to then, you know, cursing the woman at the bakery for putting a string on the box. I was out of control. And yes, I could at the end remember the pain and suffering. I'll never forget one incident at a stoplight when I couldn't wait long enough to get the cake home. And I reached in and just scooped out a huge piece of cake, and I was shoving it in my mouth, and I heard horns honk, and I looked to my right, and someone I knew from work was sitting there looking at me in total horror that I was doing what I was doing. And we never spoke about it, you know, and I've seen the person, and they've been too embarrassed to speak about it. But I saw the horror in his face. You know, I was an Epicurean when I came into the rooms, only the best bakeries for me. But then I was schlepping at Safeway, getting, you know, cakes. I was definitely a subject of King Cupcake. I was without defense against wheeling my car into a bakery or fast food line. I didn't eat fast food in my entire life until I got into the depths and the horror of this disease. And then when I couldn't pay my electric bill, Taco Bell was, you know, high-end eating for me. So, yeah, without defense, totally. And until I came in here, I was wishing and praying that God would take me home. So, yeah, glad to be here with you guys. I'll pass.
Thank you for getting us started, Lisa J.R., Mary Jane Z., followed by Debbie B. Mary Jane, good morning.
Good morning. Wanting to claim my seat. Mary Jane Z., recovered in Kentucky. For reasons yet obscure, have lost the power of choice. You know, I was in the rooms for a long time before it really hit me that I didn't have a choice. And I'll never forget the day when I was standing at the counter and decided that I just need to taste this that I'm cooking. You know, it has all the ingredients in it that I have said that I'm allergic to, but I can do this. I just need to taste it because I got to make sure it's going to taste good. So I got to taste this. And then I realized when it was all gone and I had to go to the store and buy it all over again that, wait a minute, I had no choice. And I'd forgotten all the years before of how I had suffered with my eating. It all just went out the window. It wasn't there. And it's a chilling memory. But the good news is I remember it because I've worked the steps. And working the steps has given me the memory. I do recall it now. And working with others has given me the memory. I've got the pause. But, I thought I had lots of choices and I thought I had lots of willpower, but oh boy, I watched it just go up in smoke. And I'm getting goosebumps right now thinking about it. And to all you newcomers on the line, take this italic warning. Make the leap. Hope is there. So thanks so much.
Thank you, Mary Jane Z. Debbie B., followed by Allie A. S. Debbie.
Hi, this is Debbie B., just outside of Salt Lake City, Utah. Thank you, Mo. I was just thinking this morning about 15 years ago, I actually was able to get off sugar. I was not in any programs, and I decided I was gonna do it. And I don't know why, but I didn't have it in mints or ketchup or anything like I do now. But at the time, I just did it that way. And I went a year, and I remember thinking, the reason I think I was able to is because my husband was deployed to Iraq, and I think maybe my higher power gave me a little gift that year. But here's when I took my will back, and I forgot. Well, I didn't understand. So I remember thinking, my birthday's coming up, and I'm going to just have a spree on my birthday. So my son and I went to Costco, and I bought something really sugary, and we shared it in the car, and I was just like, holy cow, I had no idea. I don't remember this being this good. Well, the rest of the day, instead of celebrating and having a normal birthday, I remember going down to leaving my family at home and sneaking away in the car several times to go buy more sugar. And I remember that night, it was about 10 o'clock. The day is over, and I had to go to one more store thinking, well, this is for the rest of my life, so I've got to get some more today. And I remember sitting in the car, because I was again in the car thinking, this is awful. In fact, I'm pretty sure that this candy is old. I'm pretty sure that it's lost its expiration date. It was from an older little store. And I sat there and I cried and I could not stop eating it. And so what a blessing. What a blessing this program is. And just this past Christmas, I had several Christmas parties on the same day. And by the time I got to the last one, all of the food I had brought was gone. And I had about 18 months in program. And I remember sitting there in front of a big pot of sugared ham thinking, this is the only ham here. This is the only thing that I can eat here that's protein. I have to eat it. And I could not for the life of me remember why I couldn't have that ham. And thank goodness for program and being able to call my sponsor. And I did have a little piece of the ham. And I did call my sponsor and tell her. And I did have to go back to step one. And it was a very dark week for me. It did not lead to a binge, thank heavens, but I cannot believe how powerful. Well, I can believe, and I know, and I don't want to forget, but what a gift and what a blessing this program is, and what a blessing all of you are, and those of you that are willing to sponsor so that we can call and get help and not do this on our own. And if you ever are in that situation where you're tempted, don't do it on your own. Call someone, because, you know, you get stronger and stronger and stronger in program. But boy, is it cunning, and it will start whispering when you are down, when you are emotionally spent for the day and you are down. So thank you for letting me share. With that, I pass.
And thank you, Debbie B. Allie A. S., followed by Leah H. Allie A.
Yes, hello. This is Allie A. S. from Germany. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Okay, thank you so much. Yes, hi, I'm Ali A. I'm a compulsive overeater in recovery, and today is my 22nd day of food plan abstinence, and I'm so grateful for this meeting. And just this paragraph, I just had to think, so many times I was like walking around the supermarket, and I was like telling myself, no, you don't need to do it. And I was trying to pull those memories of that dark places and what have come from that. And it came up, those memories, but it was blurry. And I remember so many times standing there in the supermarket aisles, just telling myself, you don't need to do this. You don't want to do this. And I was telling myself, I don't want to do it. But what did end up? I broke. At the end, I finally there was a breaking point, and then I just grabbed like the stuff I wanted to binge on and went to the cash register, and I lost at this game every time. No, you know, and I tried to pull up those memories, and I did, but the disease was always, you know, it was like a makeup sponge, and it like covered the memories with like the disease makeup. I don't know, but that's what it felt to me. And and it's so grateful to read this. I'm so grateful for this book, for this big book, because I am without defense against the first drink or the first bite, because I need God. Like, I tell myself that if my mind, my being, my brain, if that was like a cake, then for sure there was a piece missing. Like, there is a piece missing. Like, a normal human has a full cake up there in his brain. But for me, I always have this piece missing. There's a hole. It's like it's like a bathtub, and the plug has been thrown away. And whatever I do, whatever diet I try, whatever therapist, it will always be missing. So for me, the answer is that really I have to work these steps, and I have to make these steps, this program, my number one priority in my life, and that's what I'm doing at the moment. I'm trying to be with you guys in the vision for you daily, because here in this meeting is where I get like my energy to carry on. Here is where I hear the solution, and I'm just so grateful, because, you know, I'm on a food plan, and my sponsor said, you know, after 90 days you can look. You can think about maybe eating abstinent food at a restaurant. And, you know, my disease is like is like lurking around and looking at stuff. It's afraid that I will not get enough. And it's good that I can come back to this meeting and realize, oh, I'm sick and I need this program and I need you guys to recover. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Rowena. And I'm not Rowena. Allie A.S. on your 22 days. Okay, Leah S., followed by Kaylee R. Leah.
Thank you very much, Mo. Thank you, everyone, on this meeting. My name is Leah S., recovered in Brooklyn. Okay, this is a fact. I have lost the power of the choice in drink. I have lost the power about all my red foods. I am without defense against the first drink. In the doctor's opinion, it says exclusively that I have a phenomenon of craving. Not that I was looking for an explanation, because I just couldn't understand it. Couldn't understand why. But then I realized when I started studying about it that once this, whatever food that it is, or not food, or nosh, or junk that I'm taking into my mouth, there's something that happens to my body. And that is that that is my allergy, because it makes me feel so good, but it also dulls every kind of feeling that I just want. Everything that I have ever been feeling before, it overtakes it. I just want more and more and more. And then if I can't have any more, I'm going to be dreaming about it. So whatever I'm going to do, I'm just going to go out and I'm going to dream about it. When am I going to get some more? When am I going to get some more? And you know what? And then there are some times when I don't remember. I don't remember the pain that I used to feel after I had binged. I don't remember. And I have a short-term memory. And you know what? Working with others, relapsers, they have such a hard time getting back. My heart goes out to them. So who says, Leia, that if you're going to take one little snip or just a taste that you're ever going to get back? No way. No way. I work this program and these steps, like my life depends on it. And when challenges do come, oh my God, I have the solution. I have you fellows. I have my higher power. I don't have my answers all the time, but oh my goodness, there's a way out of it to face the truth, as difficult as it is. But you know what? I'm not facing it alone. I'm facing it with my higher power and with you fellows. So keep doing it one day at a time. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Leia S. Kaylee R., followed by Rowena K. Kaylee.
Hi, sorry, I needed to unmute. This is Kaylee R. from Northern California Recovered. Oh my goodness, this sentence, our so-called willpower becomes practically non-existent. I was at a country music festival this past weekend, and it's my first one being entirely abstinent and recovered, and I was surrounded by people who are not compulsive overeaters, who were drinking, which I don't do anymore because that has sugar in it. And I would have never been able to do this before. This was not my willpower that kept me abstinent this weekend. This was my higher power. Getting recovered in this program has been such a miracle in my life. And I know 100% it was not me. It was all of my higher powers doing. I did the footwork, but my higher power is what walked me through this and kept me, you know, in this program. I relapsed last summer. After the passing of one of our good fellows here in this program, and I went to a retreat where she was supposed to be, and I was so lucky to find people who allowed me to open up about that and realize that I had been in relapse. And I talked to someone about, for me, it was the Diet Pepsi, the fake sugar. Because for me, it's not the chemical compound in sugar that is what I'm allergic to. It's that sweet taste on my tongue. And it doesn't matter if it's regular sugar or fake sugar, that sweet taste on my tongue gets me high and it numbs me out. And that's what I'm allergic to. That's what triggers the allergy and the obsession of the mind for me. And once I cut that out, I've been able to get entirely abstinent and be completely sane around food. I never knew that I could be neutral when it came to food. I thought when people were saying they were recovered and they were neutral around food and it didn't call to them, I was like, these people are full of you know what. And I have that now. And I never thought that I would have that because I'm telling you, I honestly thought they were crazy. And I got rid of that fake sugar and all of the other alcoholic ingredients that I was eating. And I'm now recovered and neutral. And I just spent 4 days in the desert with a lot of friends. And I didn't need to eat and I didn't need to drink and I didn't need to consume any of my alcoholic ingredients, excuse me, to have fun and to be part of. Like, I got to just be me. And that's because of this program and because of my higher power. And again, there's no willpower. It's gone. There is none. It's all my higher power. And I'm so grateful to be on the line. And with that, I pass.
And thank you very much, Kaylee R. And before we get to Rowena K., let me remind everybody where we're on, where we're at in the big book. We're on page 24, the first paragraph. The fact is that most alcoholics, and we're just reading that one paragraph only and unpacking it. Rowena K., you are on, and then I'll take open the lines up for more names. Rowena.
Hello, it's Rowena K. I'm recovering compulsive overeater in the United Kingdom. I'm so grateful to be able to share today. Because having lost the power of choice in drink and food, I had no choice whatsoever when it came to the sugar. And I could never remember what it was like the last time, you know, because just before I picked up, all I would feel would be excitement, you know, just an absolute sort of rush at the thought of getting my fix. And the memory would come back, but it would only come back the next morning, you know. So throughout, you know, the night when I was in the sugar, I would be, you know, just numbed out, and it wouldn't be until the next morning, as soon as I opened my eyes, that I would remember what I'd done. I was like, oh, my God, you know. And willpower, it says practically non-existent, so-called willpower. I mean, I know now that willpower doesn't come into it at all. And, you know, the humiliation of even a week or a month ago, because that's what it was, you know, the feelings, and it would be humiliation, you know, sort of the shame of what people think if they saw what I did. And now and again, somebody did see what I did, you know, if I couldn't actually stop myself. And I think, you know, I would still be without defense if it wasn't for this program. And it's quite insane how gentle the defense is in a lot of ways, you know, like, because it's as simple as, you know, doing step 10s every day, staying connected with people, staying connected with my program and my higher power. You know, it's so easy compared to what life is like when I'm not connected, when I'm in the food. And I don't actually have to be in the food to not be connected. You know, I can actually get to that place pretty quickly if I don't stay in touch with fellows and ring into meetings. And I just want to say, as I've been sitting here waiting to share, a little bird came really close to me. It's a little red-breasted robin. And I can't believe how close this bird was came up to me. And one of my sponsors a while back said that, you know, whenever you see a bird like that, it's God, you know, speaking to you. And that's never actually happened before. So I feel there was something kind of spiritual in seeing that bird today. And thank you so much, Apos.
Thank you, Rowena K. And I will now open the lines up to take more names, those of you who'd like to share.
Anna B.
Anna B.
Electra S.
Sherry K. B.
Sherry K. B.
Danny C.
D.
Who did I hear?
Donna.
Julie E.B.?
Donna B. And Julie E.B.
Robin D.Z.
Robin D.Z. Let's stop there. D.Z. Julie. You talk faster than I can write. All right. I have Anna B. Electra. I missed your last initial. You can give it to me when you share. Sherry K.B. Donna B. Julie E.B. And Robin D.Z. Okay, Anna B., get us started. Thank you.
Good morning, Mo, and thank you for your service. I, as I was reading this paragraph and listening to people's stories, I remember being so into the food that I didn't even know I had a problem. I would just eat and eat, and people would be staring at me, and I didn't even realize they were even staring at me. And when I volunteered at a church, they had a extra large pizza that they were going to have for their dinner time. Well, I ate all of that, and I thought, oh, gosh, I have to go and replace this. So I went, and I did replace it, and I came back, and they were kind of giving me, like, these really dirty looks, these people. And I go, I got the pizza, just what you had before. I go, it's here, and I have it on time. And they were still kind of giving me this dirty look, and I'm thinking, I wonder why they're upset. And I let it go. But I guess they were disgusted that I had ate the whole pizza all to myself. But that was nothing. You know, I mean, it's like, so I was so in the food that I wasn't even aware of how my compulsive overeating was affecting others around me. And, you know, like one time a friend of my ex-husband says, my gosh, you're eating more than I am. And I'm thinking, so? And I kept eating. So our disease is so baffling, you know, so restrictive. And we don't have the clarity at times when we're in disease, we don't have the clarity to see what's around us. And it really makes me think of, you know, I could have got myself into some dangerous situations if I was unaware of these people for my compulsive overeating. I, you know, maybe wasn't aware of, you know, some dangerous people that were around me, maybe, you know. So this disease is so tricky. And just like all the others diseases, they'll say you will die if you don't get this substance. You will die if you don't do this drug. You will die if you don't take this alcoholic drink. You're going to die if you don't get it. And that's what our disease is telling us. We will die if we don't get this whatever food we are craving. And the good news is we don't die. We live. We get clear. And we're able to go forward and really open up more spiritually. I think the food is like the last frontier for some of us. And it's just wonderful to have this program and hear all the recovery in this room. I am so grateful for all the people who are on the line and share and do service. And with that, I'll pass.
And thank you, Anna B. Electra S, I think. Electra, followed by Sherry KB. Press star 1 to unmute, Electra.
Good morning, Electra S, recovered compulsive overeater, bulimic from Santa Cruz, California. And I lost connection for a second. May I be heard?
Yes, you're being heard. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Wow, I'm so grateful for the opportunity to share in this paragraph. This paragraph is incredibly emotional to me. I actually started crying this morning as I was reading it and listening to some shares from the 7 a.m. And I have in the margin of this paragraph amnesia before actually even going through the big book with my sponsor and being enlightened of blank spots. And our so-called willpower becomes practically non-existent. And I was raised to believe that our willpower and self-will and control could essentially amount to success and opportunity and the power to overcome any obstacle in life. And for so much of my life, that self-will and reliance on others with self-will, it worked. But yet I had this cunning and baffling disease of overeating, of bulimia, and the allergy of the body, and that mental twist that is a disease. And to all the newcomers out there, it's a disease, and it's progressive, and it's dangerous. And there's also a solution. And to know that this program is truly a solution and putting down the food and the bulimic behaviors and finding a spiritual solution simultaneously is such a powerful act of love from my higher power and my fellows and my sponsor, my sponsee, and all the friendships that I've made throughout this journey, and putting down the food and feeling so much more connected with nature and with all the things around me, and what someone said about the robin and the bird and that being God. And I just think that's such a miracle, because those small miracles were never noticed by me until becoming abstinent and finding a spiritual solution and having the memory of suffering. And in those couple of slips that I had in the very beginning of recovery, thank God for the blank spots early on, because I could remember the blank spots. And it's so important to know that those blank spots, they do come again, that the thoughts and the urges, they will occur no matter how I may be in bliss one moment. The blank spots happen when life gets really good, and that's okay, so long as that I'm in the program and I'm practicing my 10 step and, more importantly, my 12 step. So thank you all for this program and being on this line. And I'm just so excited to know that there's a retreat in the fall and an OA birthday in the winter that I plan on being present for and meet many of these fellows face to face. So with that, I'll pass, and thank you for your service.
And thank you, Electra S., Sherry KB, followed by Donna B. Sherry KB.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. I'm very grateful and recovered compulsive overeater. This is one of my favorite paragraphs in There Is a Solution, because it describes the mental blank spot. You know, I have a mental twist and mental blank spot, and they gang up together on the intellect and tell me it'll be different this time. But this is a description exactly of the mental twist. The mental blank spot. Because, you know, when I read this, it does make me sad. But on the other hand, I'm grateful that it describes who I am. Because then it shows me that I truly am a compulsive overeater. And, you know, I used to hear the word ism, which I used to think was I sponsor myself. But also it means incredibly short memory, because I have a built-in forgetter. That's part of my disease. My disease wants me to forget. I have a disease. I can't tell you numerous times in the past when I had totally forgotten that all the humiliation and just feeling terrible about myself of the things that I did around the food, that when I would pick up that first bite, all of it fell away. And it didn't matter. I did not care what I had done in the past. I didn't even remember what I had done in the past. And what this also reminds me of is that on page 34, on paragraph 2, it talks about, for those who are unable to drink moderately, the question is how to stop altogether. We're assuming, of course, that the reader desires to stop. Whether such a person can quit upon a non-spiritual basis depends upon the extent to which he has already lost the power to choose whether he will drink or not. Many of us felt that we had plenty of character. There was a tremendous urge to cease forever. Yet we found it impossible that this baffling feature of alcoholism as we know it, this utter inability to leave it alone, no matter how great the necessity or the wish. So it just shows me that, you know, my disease is working it all the time. And this can also go for other things in my life as well. I've noticed a pattern with that between my emotions and the food, it runs very similar. And I also know that's why I used to be face down on the food, but now I have to be face down in this program and in this book because I do have that built-in forgetter, because I have amnesia, because I have that mental blank spot, I need to be in this book and I need to connect with my higher power. And I know that, you know, I can't think my way, but I have to act my way into it. And so I need to rely on my higher power and these steps, and that's what keeps me out of that mental blank spot. Because if I remember, I need to be reminded all the time how dangerous this disease is. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry KB. Donna B., followed by Julie EB.
Thank you. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater in Denver, Colorado. This sentence about having lost the power of choice. I had this very vivid memory of I was in graduate school at the University of Miami in Florida, which is the campus is like a gorgeous country club. And I didn't know anything about OA, and I wasn't in the program yet. And I had some time before my next class. And I said to myself, I'm going to walk around this fountain until the desire to stop at the little shop passes. And I'm not going to buy any chocolate before class. And I walked around that fountain, and I walked around the fountain, and I walked around the fountain, and the time was passing, and the time was passing. And ultimately, it became very clear to me that that my choice was either to buy the chocolate and go to class, or to continue walking around this fountain indefinitely. And so the quote-unquote choice that I made, which now I know was really a no choice, was to run to the store and buy a sufficient amount of chocolate to help me get through the class. And that saddens me so much to imagine my younger self on this beautiful campus, walking around this gorgeous fountain, surrounded by palm trees, having nothing in my mind but trying to resist stopping to buy food before the class. The second thing that I want to comment on is we were without defense against the first drink. I'm very grateful today to know that between me and the first bite is my higher power. The book says it's very easy to let up on a spiritual practice, and I know how easy it is to let up on a spiritual practice, as I've had periods in my life where I've let up, and I've also witnessed many others let up on their spiritual practice. Today, I do sincerely, authentically, intensely practice steps 10, 11, and 12, because I do understand that the only defense against that first drink is for my mind and my thinking to be directed by my higher power, so that my disease does not hijack my mind and begin to create thoughts that seem like good ideas when in fact they can actually kill me. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Donna B. And we will only have time for one more share, which will be Julie E.B. Sorry, Robin D.Z. Maybe you can get on tomorrow. Julie E.B.
Hi, this is Julie, gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Just for today, a daily reprieve. I didn't have a defense. When I was growing up, I didn't have much defense. And something about the way I was born, I didn't have a defense. It's I like to describe it as my nerves were on the outside. This incredible sensitivity made me good at reading my family, helped me survive, made me good at pursuing a helping profession, helped me to get out of my childhood. But like that boomerang, all the mechanisms, the boomerang is in Bill's story. All the mechanisms that I used to try and care for and protect myself all those years to make a defense of armor for myself, one day they were just gone. And I was without a defense. On the bottom page 25, it says, we come, there's no middle-of-the-road solution. We can continue blotting out our intolerable situation as best we can or seek spiritual help. I blotted out my weakness as best I could from the food, but there was never enough food, and there was never enough self-will, and there was never enough willpower. Now, in this program, as I get into action, I put down the food, I read this book with another, something amazing began to happen. And as I came to that little prayer, we asked for God's care and protection with complete abandon. I was amazed. This is a we program. I'm just inquiring of the universe. I'm looking at my higher power, and saying, could my higher power protect me? That is the prevention of injury and harm. Could my higher power care for me? The provision of everything I need for my health, welfare, and maintenance of my spiritual condition. Could my higher power do this? And I would pursue this with complete abandon, and that means full. Not of the food, not of self-will. I can't believe the word complete means full. I would finally be full of abandon, which means giving up, having run my course, having tried it my way. And that's when I had a defense. I have a defense because my higher power loves and accepts me right now today and helps me take the next right action. Thanks for letting me share.
And thank you, Julie E.B. thank you all who gave service today and those who shared on the line and those who were on the line. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Kara L. please read a vision for you?
Sure. Good morning. My name is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.